This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow is producing. The show originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge. And your number, 877-217-5757. Emails go to talk@talklouisiana.org. In a moment, we're going to hear the distinctive voice of James Harvey Brown, the former state lawmaker, former Secretary of State and Insurance Commissioner, and a man who's been following American and Louisiana politics for a few generations and has become a prolific writer and publisher, and he's back with a new book about his Jerusalem journey. But before we get there, I do want to note there were three significant deaths over the last few days since we last joined you. We heard the passing of Luther Kent, a local legend here, quite a performer for about a half century in the Baton Rouge area, going back to 1974, exactly 50 years ago. He was briefly a member of Blood, Sweat, and Tears, a remarkable talent, started his career with, I believe, with Montel Records. He was 76. He died at his home in Livingston Parish early Friday morning. And Ed Daniels, a revered sportscaster who dominated the New Orleans market for a long time. He had a heart attack in Saints training camp in California, was sent back home to New Orleans and didn't make it. He was 67, and the outpouring of affection for him on social media is palpable. He was loved and respected, which of course is always a tricky combination when you're in the media, but he managed to pull it off. I knew him professionally, didn't know him really personally, but I admired his work, and we will miss Ed Daniels. And this one is one that is truly sad for our community. Sharon Weston Broom, the mayor president, issued this release yesterday. I share the news of the passing of Simone Paulette, a dedicated public servant and beloved member of our team, is our office manager. Simone was the heartbeat of our office. She was a devoted leader, handling many of our citizens' requests and playing an integral role in the mayor's advisory council on veterans affairs. She died in a car wreck over the weekend, and it was one of those things in which she was full of life one minute and gone the next. And for those of us who travel every now and then, and Jim Brown I know still does, and I do regularly, the most dangerous part of a journey, no matter where you're going in the world, is the ride to and from the airport. And we should never forget how dangerous our highways are. We have real problems with opioid abuse and deaths, and car wrecks exceed the number of people killed in any other way in this country. And it is a dangerous proposition when you're on the road a lot, and it is much more dangerous than flying all over the world. And Jim Brown, we lost a good one in Simone Paulette, and I know you're a man who in your day when you'd run for office, you used to visit all 64 parishes. People forget how dangerous that really is.
It is, Jim. And we, particularly here in Louisiana, we get in the insurance angle with it costs so much. And we live in a different area with the roads that are built through the swamps, because often you can't put off the side of the roads there. You can't do that when you go through the swamp. You're just trying to put enough dirt there to get the road through. So bridges are dangerous. So we could talk for several hours about the dangers there. And as you said, taking care and getting there safely is a very important part.
In this young lady's case, it was truly a freak accident. Her car just collided with another vehicle and then went off the road and hit a tree. And unfortunately, it burst into flames, but it is a dangerous world in many, many ways, and you have written about it. Before we get to contemporary matters like the Democratic National Convention, Jim Brown is a prolific writer and publisher, and this one is Jesus, Jews, Jihad, and Me, My Jerusalem Journey. So it turned out your trip to Israel came at a time that was significant for the world at large.
Well, it was, Jim. I hit 84 years of age this year, and we reevaluate what we do in our lives. from all of us do that from time to time. And I hit 84, and I kind of thought maybe I better kind of take a little account of my life and just put things in order, because I'm not going to be around forever. I'm in good health. But so that sparked me on thoughts of, I didn't have any idea to go to Jerusalem, but, and I've never written about these subjects. I've always written more about politics in Louisiana. In this case, Jim, if I could just tell you what happened, I said, well, let me start reading the Bible a little bit. Let's start with Genesis and see if I can find a point of reference for my own life. And I didn't get very far when the questions started pouring out. So I go to New York to visit my grandkids at Grandparents' Day at their school. And I'm there with a lot of other grandparents visiting, and they go to a real fine school there in New York City. And there's a fellow over in the corner. I'm just over there talking to him, and we both had grandkids. And I said, my name's Jim Brown. I'm from Louisiana. He said, well, I'm Elie Wiesel from New York. Well, that sparked immediately the name Wiesel. I knew that this very famous guy was a Holocaust survivor, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, written 40 books, probably one of the most significant Jewish philosophers in the last several centuries. So we got talking. I said, let me ask you a question. I'm reading the book of Genesis, and Adam is kind of hiding from God after he takes that bite of the apple, and God says, Aika, where are you, Adam? Aika. And I didn't know what that meant, Jim, and here I've got this great religious philosopher here with me, and he was ill, and I said, what does this mean? He says, God knows where Adam is. What he's saying is, where are you with your life? Where are you? What are your goals? What is your purpose? So what do you want to accomplish in the years you have left? And I said, well, that's fine. Where do I do that? He says, go to where it all began. Go to Jerusalem. That's where the Muslim faith was founded. That's where the Jewish faith was founded. That's where the Christian faith was founded. It all started in Jerusalem. So anyway, I'm rambling with you. But that's what got me thinking. Maybe I ought to go. I didn't know anyone who'd ever really been there that I'd talked to. I just said, oh, let's just go. And a week later, I hopped on a plane, had no guide, no one else with me. And I took off for the Holy Land to try to find out just where I am. And that's where it all began.
Well, the book from Jim Brown is Jesus, Jews, Jihad, and Me, My Jerusalem Journey. And he notes that the city has been invaded 52 times, captured and recaptured 44 times, besieged 23 times, and destroyed twice, first by the Babylonians and then by the Romans. And the state of Israel has only been around since 1948, and it is, of course, the hotbed of action right now there in Gaza and in Ukraine, or where two wars are being fought, and now in Russia. And it is a dangerous world, and Jerusalem is the center of the universe. It's a city that is not that big. It's actually about the size of Baton Rouge. It's still a beautiful place too, Jim. People may not realize it, but scenically, palm trees, and it is a beautiful, beautiful place.
It really is, and it's very small, like you say. The old city of Jerusalem, Jim, where so much of the world's history took place, where so much was founded, is kind of like the French Quarter. I don't mean in terms of how what goes on down there, but as far as the size, there's a wall around the old city, and that's where Jesus made his Via Dolorosa walk to his death, and that's where so much of the history has come from, and that's where the center of a lot of the rioting is today. I stayed in a pilgrimage center. People said, oh, you got to stay in one of these fancy hotels. I wasn't going as a tourist. I was going as a pilgrim. I was trying to kind of find myself. I stayed at a pilgrimage center that happens to be run by the Episcopal Church. That was right in the center of it all, so I could walk throughout Jerusalem. And I was right on the edge of the Muslim part of the city. The city split up, Jim, and five times a day you'd hear this wailing going on throughout the large microphones all over that part of the city as the Muslim faith got to their knees and prayed five times a day. I was right in the middle there. And then, Jim, if I could share this with you, you mentioned the terrible things that happened with Hamas. I left, I believe, on the last commercial flight out of the city, out of Tel Aviv, before the missiles came down. Missiles landed about 50 yards from where I was staying at that time. And so there was no real premonition about it, but, you know, I made five or six cab rides with Palestinian cab drivers, and I asked them about how they like living in Israel and Jerusalem. And you know what they all said to me? They said, you know, we're citizens of Israel, but we're second-class citizens. He says,
okay, we do have to take a break. The book is Jesus, Jews, Jihad, and Me, and we'll get Jim Brown's take on politics nationally. Much to talk about when we return. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. Jim Brown is with us, and his book, his latest one, is Jesus, Jews, Jihad, and Me, My Jerusalem Journey, and it's from Lisburn Press. It's a pretty book, too. Jim Brown's gotten the hang of the publishing operation, and it is really a nice-looking book, and he tells quite a story about his voyage there at a stage in life in which some people have long gone. But if you want to get in touch with civilization and find out more about what preceded us, that is the center of the universe. And Jim Brown, a listener, asked where they can pick up a copy. I know it's in some bookstores, but for those listening outside the area, as Howland Monroe is, what's the best way to get a copy of Jesus, Jews, Jihad, and Me from Jim Brown?
You can get it on Amazon or my website, jimbrownla.com. It tells all about the book there if you want to learn more about it. And again, jimbrownla.com or Amazon up in Monroe, if you're up there. It's going to get in Books A Million and Barnes & Noble, the bookstores now. That takes a little time. And in Baton Rouge, by the way, I've had friends say, hey, we want your book. So you can go to Phil's Oyster Bar. You can go to Syrop's. You can go to Don Bergeron's restaurant and find my books there in all those restaurants. A lot of my friends say, we want to follow up on your book. We may want to go there. So I've had a lot of fun placing it with friends in places like that throughout Baton Rouge. But and Jim, you talked about the book. You know, I got that idea. I went to the Shakespeare bookstore in Paris when I was there last year, and I like that you mentioned the cover and the copy and different ways to write books. Publishing is fascinating, and I'm learning more and more. I would probably had less problems in my life if I'd been a publisher earlier and not mess with politics, but I'm glad you like it. It's been fun to put this seventh book, and a little different tone I was taking. If I could just finish what I was saying, though, those Palestinian cab drivers all told me they felt like they were second-class citizens. They wanted their own country. They didn't like many of the Jewish Israelis, who they felt were overbearing and pushy. And that was a little premonition, quite frankly, that things weren't all that right. And then, you know, here, just as I'm leaving, the missiles started coming down. Now we've got this massive problem, as you referred to, in the Middle East. It's explosive, and I don't know when it's going to end, Jim.
I don't think it's going to end, Jim Brown. I don't think it's going to end. I was in Jerusalem with Mike Dana, my dear friend, who died in 2015 and 2005. We did a week of shows there from the Jerusalem Post, and we went to Gaza, and bombs were falling then in 2005, and they're continuing to fall, unfortunately. And it is a place where you learn a lot about humanity, and you learn a lot about where we've been and where we're going when you go to Israel. But Jim Brown has written about it, Jesus, Jews, Jihad, and Me. One of the things that was palpable there was that the love of Bill Clinton in Israel is amazing. He was the keynoter at the funeral for the slain prime minister, Yitzhak Rabin. He was killed, the fifth prime minister, 1995, fourth day of November, and Clinton delivered a stirring eulogy, which made him a hero in Israel. And today is the former president's 78th birthday. Jim Brown used to regularly attend Democratic National Conventions, and there's one starting in Chicago right now, and Kamala Harris will be elevated to the position as the official nominee of the party, the Vice President of the United States. But for those who may not have been around, it was 32 years ago or have forgotten. Here's Bill Clinton when he was 45 years old, receiving the Democratic nomination in Madison Square Garden, 1992, July 16th. Here is the 42nd American president.
In the name of all those who do the work, pay the taxes, raise the kids, and play by the rules. In the name of the hardworking Americans who make up our forgotten middle class, I proudly accept your nomination for President of the United States. I hope nobody in this great hall tonight or in our beloved country has to go through tomorrow without a vision. I hope no one ever tries to raise a child without a vision. I hope nobody ever starts a business or plants a crop in the ground without a vision. For where there is no vision, the people perish. We can seize this moment, make it exciting and energizing and heroic to be American again. We can renew our faith in each other and in ourselves. We can restore our sense of unity and community. As the scripture says, our eyes have not yet seen, nor our ears heard, nor our minds imagined what we can build. I end tonight where it all began for me. I still believe in a place called hope. God bless you, and God bless America.
All right, that was Bill Clinton, July 16, 1992. His speech in Madison Square Garden is now remembered as one of the best as nominations go, and his speech in 1988 in Atlanta was one of the worst when he was voicing support for Michael Dukakis and basically got booed off the stage. Jim Brown, he was a guy who learned, and you were around, you were insurance commissioner, you're a little bit older than he, but you're of the same vintage, and I know you know that he dominated the Democratic Party for a long time, and his wife, of course, came within an eyelash of almost of being elected president in 2016. But your thoughts on the 78th birthday of Bill Clinton, about his legacy?
I was there when he gave that speech in that Madison Square Garden, Jim, and I had several interactions with the president. Whether you like his politics or not, he was the most hands-on, compelling, best politician I ever met. I mean, hands down. When I was elected insurance commissioner, I was at my little campaign headquarters at Phil's Oyster Bar when it was used to be out on Highland Road.
Government, wasn't it? Well, anyway, keep going.
No, this was when it first opened on Highland Road.
Okay. Out there. You're going way back, way back. Yeah.
Okay. That's right. That was 1992 when I was elected insurance commissioner. So I'm shutting down for the night, have my son on my shoulder, carrying him out the door. And the owner says, "Hey, there's some guy on the phone for you, Jim." I said, I don't want to pull in more calls. I'm tired. I've won the election. I'm going home. So he comes back and says, "Well, it's the governor of Arkansas, Bill Clinton." And I said, "Well," I picked up the phone to the governor. "How you doing?" He says, "Jim, I just wanted to call to congratulate you on your big victory as insurance commissioner in Louisiana." Now, you know, I'm sure he probably made 50 calls that night to 50 other people. Everybody that won, he called the losers. He just was insatiable in terms of the one-on-one activity. And so, again, you might not like his politics, but the second best hands-on politician, probably one-on-one, was Edwin Edwards from Louisiana. But Clinton was the best. Nobody could touch him, quite frankly.
877-217-5757 for Jim Brown. Tonight, President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. gives his address at the Democratic Convention, and it is the opening of what will be a week in which Kamala Harris will ascend to the post as the Democratic standard bearer. David in Atlanta. David, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Brown, using your knowledge as a former state secretary of the state, here in Georgia, there are five members on the Georgia Election Board, three of which are strident, open Trump supporters. Now, the scuttlebutt in Georgia is, regardless of the outcome of the election, should Trump lose, the three members on that board will refuse to certify the election. Now, what are your thoughts on this, and can they get away with it?
All right. That is a valid concern. I picked up a copy of the Atlanta Constitution this weekend, and that is big news in Georgia, where it is a neck-and-neck race right now, Jim.
It sure is, David. And, you know, when I was Secretary of State, we didn't have problems like this. I'd formed an Elections Integrity Commission because some of you older folks might recall that Jimmy Fitzmaurice was challenging Lewis Lambert for the right to be the Democratic nominee.
Okay, we're going to pick up with this when we come back. A few more minutes with Jim Brown, then it's Elbert Guillory on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Jim Brown with us for a few more moments. 877-217-5757 is your number. And getting back to what David in Atlanta stated as he called in, yesterday's top story in the Atlanta Constitution, Georgia Republicans lay groundwork to fight certifying presidential vote. A rising number of Republican election board members in Georgia have rejected certifying election results since 2020 when then GOP presidential candidate, and he was the sitting president, Donald Trump, falsely claimed his loss was due to fraud. And Jim Brown, I know you fought for election integrity when you were Secretary of State, but this goes beyond that. This is actually creating the prospect. Let's hope it doesn't happen, but I think it's a real concern that people won't certify election that has been held fairly. How do you get past that?
Well, you know, one of the problems that gets created in this kind of situation is that every state election law procedure is different. How we run, for example, in the state of Louisiana, the Secretary of State actually prints all the ballots in the state. Over in Alabama, each county prints the individual tickets. So when you've got, really, we've got like 50 different countries running these elections, all handling it in a different way. There's no one way, which allows each state to bring about challenges that are false, as you mentioned in the past. But, Jimmy, I don't see an easy solution to it unless we nationalize the procedure as to how we run elections. I don't think people in our state want to do that, but that's the only way to do it. Otherwise, it's going to end up being fought in the courts, just like we've done in the 4 years ago, and what we're probably going to see happen again in this election just a few months away.
In the latest Real Clear Politics compilation of polls, Donald Trump leads Kamala Harris 48.1 to 47.1 in Georgia. Now, she has closed the gap. Trump is ahead by 1 point within the margin of error, but it shapes up as a race to the wire, as it was in 2020, and the only state in the Southeastern Conference that it appears Kamala Harris actually has a chance of winning. Before we go to Elbert Guillory, I know Franken of Oils Parish has been waiting for a little bit. Frank, you're on with Jim Brown. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. Thank you. I am a registered Democrat. I am retired, and I have tried to become more active involved in the Democratic Party, either at the local level or at the state level. But I have had no one from either of Oils Parish or Louisiana contact me to try to become more active, other than they're always asking for money. But I'd like to do more than just give money.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate you expressing your concerns. And I've had others say the same thing. The Democratic Party right now is in disarray in our state, and there has been a change in the guard. But Jim, it's not what it used to be when it was the dominant party in our state.
Well, and Frank made the right call in saying that he doesn't have to maybe give the money, but the Democratic Party has not been effective in raising significant money, and the Republicans have. And you got to have dollars to drive organization parish by parish, get candidates to register or to go ahead and qualify. And it was easy when I was there in the Democratic Party. We had a well-funded party. You just don't have that now. Until Democrats were able to get a Buddy Leach they used to have, or a Jim Bernhardt, or someone that can be a money raiser, I'm afraid they're just going to be second class in Louisiana, Jim.
Well, Jim Brown, always good to talk with you. I know you're in North Carolina, where it's a lot cooler than it is here.
it is, but I still enjoy it. And if I could say one more time, Jim, that my book, Jesus, Jews, Jim Hobb, and Me, go to my website, jimbrownla.com, and you can read all about it. And Jim, good to talk to you. I'm suffering up here. The temperature may reach 65 degrees today. So I'm sweating it out up here while I'm thinking about you back home in Louisiana.
All right. Well, we look forward to your heroic return, Jim Brown. Thank you, sir. And we're joined now by Elbert Lee Guillory, former Democrat turned Republican, former state lawmaker, lawyer of renown in his hometown of Opelousas, one of the great Louisiana treasures. And he is running for Congress. And he is the Republican standard bearer because he is the only GOP candidate in the race in the newly constructed 6th District. He's running against Cleo Fields. One thing is certain, we will have an African-American representing us. I think all the candidates are black candidates. And, of course, it likely will come down to Cleo Fields being the favorite, the established one, against one of the others, potentially in a runoff. And I know that's what you're counting on, Elbert Lee Guillory. Do you think you have a legitimate shot of making a runoff with Senator Fields?
Definitely, Jim. Good morning, and it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I believe that not only do we have a possibility of a runoff, I think that we have a possibility of winning it outright the first time around.
And why is that?
Well, we are out there working very hard, and there's some things that are working on behalf of us right now. Fortunately for us, the politicians' government really has not been working. It has not protected families, and people are just very dissatisfied with the way things are going. The high cost of inflation, gasoline, food prices, twice what they were 5 years ago.
All right. Well, the inflation's down to 2.9%, but that is an issue. And of course, there was inflation all over the world after COVID. But when you're in charge, you get credit when things go well and blame when they don't go well. And that was one area where Joe Biden was vulnerable, and his vice president is now the Democratic nominee to be. Now, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, I suspect, I think there's any doubt that Senator Fields will be supporting Kamala Harris. Are you still bullish on Trump?
I will support the Republican standard bearer. But, you know, Jim, this election is bigger than just political party. Right now, we're talking about the survival of families, economic survival, and literal survival. The crime rate is so high. In the 6th District, two of the cities, Shreveport and Baton Rouge, are on America's top 10. And Alexandria is a number one most dangerous in Louisiana.
Well, you are right, but Louisiana, up until last year, I think we had a record of 32 straight years as the most homicidal state in America, and our rate of homicides is what we're talking about, not the number, our rate. But that's 32 years under a lot of different administrations, both nationally and in the state, and we were eclipsed last year by the great state of Mississippi. But how much can your local congressman do to thwart homicides, Elbert Guillory?
Among other things, Jim, right now we're sending billions of dollars across the seas to protect other people Well, no one needs protecting more than the people in Louisiana, particularly in Louisiana's 6th district. So one of the things that I can do is be a strong voice to redirect those dollars from foreign shores to Louisiana to protect our people. Our police officers are underfunded. They're walking around in outmoded bulletproof vests that are not bulletproof anymore. So we've got to invest in protecting our families here.
Okay, Michael, downtown Baton Rouge, you're first up with Senator Elbert Guillory, candidate 11 weeks from tomorrow's election day in the 6th District. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, folks. Elbert, since you bring up crime and you're in Opelousas, what have you done? What have you spoken out in terms of the disaster that's going on in the Opelousas Police Department with the police chief's wife, I think, being shot by one of his friends?
All right. What's going on in Opelousas, Elbert Guillory?
Well, Opelousas is suffering from much of the same crime, the crime wave that is engulfing and threatening all of our families. Definitely, it is taking place in Opelousas. The house across the street from my office has been shot up twice. One man killed there. More than 48 bullet holes in that house. We have to stop this. It must be addressed in a much more serious way than it has been.
Michael in Villa Del Rey. Mike, good morning. You're on with Senator Guillory.
Good morning, Mr. Guillory, Jim. I have a couple of quick questions for Mr. Guillory. All these law and order candidates that run, do you recognize the insurrection that happened on January the 6th? And my next question is, you get clobbered every time you run. Why do you keep running?
Well, he's won a few times. You've been both houses, but keep going.
I've lost 3 and I've won 7. Abraham Lincoln lost 14 and won 1. So my record is at least as good as Abraham Lincoln. And I am going to continue to fight for what I believe in as long as I have breath.
All
right.
And
I believe that we need to protect families.
All right. It's time for a break. Robin Dow reminds me, and we will spend the last quarter hour with Elbert Lee Guillory. We've got some folks waiting. We'll go to Mike and Lafayette first. Your number is 877-217-5757. Former state senator, lawyer Elbert Guillory of Opelousas, running as the standard bearer for the party of Lincoln, the Republican Party. He wants to be a U.S. congressman. We'll talk about it when we return after this time out on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Elbert Lee Guillory, who was kicked out of Southern University more than 50 years ago when he was the editor of the school newspaper, and he wrote an editorial that Senator Alan Ellender didn't like a lot. Senator Ellender was referred to by Elbert Guillory as a lunatic, and that was see you later, Elbert, off to the races. You ended up getting your education in some fine institutions outside Louisiana, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did. Because of my expulsion from Louisiana, I was able to be admitted to several of the nation's top law universities, including Harvard and Rutgers. And I graduated from Rutgers Law School and was able to teach at Rutgers.
877-217-5757 is your number for Elbert Guillory. Mike in Lafayette, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, Mr. Elbert, I was wondering if you might better comment on the funding of your campaign. I've heard that it's being funded largely by external dark money. Might you comment upon that?
How are you getting your contributions, Elbert Guillory? You've commented you're doing well. I'm taking you at your word. Where's the money coming from, Elbert Guillory?
Much of it is coming from mailing lists that we've used in Louisiana. We've sent mail to our former donors, and they are responding to us very, very well. There's a at www.albertgillaryforcongress@gmail.com. And they are responding very, very well there. Of course, we have sent requests all around the country to people who are sending us $5, $10, and $100 checks. And that's where most of my money comes from. And it's all green, no dark money.
Okay, I get it. 877-217-5757. Albert's a man who has a laugh every now and then, doesn't take life as seriously as some others in his world. But have you been to Mar-a-Lago? A listener asked this, and Robbins pointed me this story from the New York Times last Friday. I see 133 people have visited Mar-a-Lago three or more times since 2021. And on the list, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. But you know another one on that list, Albert Guillory? Bobby Jindal. Bobby Jindal, who called Donald Trump a carnival barker. He's been to Mar-a-Lago. He must be trying to get a job.
Well, it does have a nice golf course there, so
I don't know that he plays golf.
Maybe he's a golfing enthusiast.
He plays politics, but he's all dressed up and no place to go. He's already been a two-term governor of Louisiana, and as you know, his polling numbers are so bad that anything attached to him is radioactive, as Stephen Wagusback found out. But I did not know he'd been to Mar-a-Lago. But back to the question, have you been?
I have. About 6 or 7 years ago, I was able to visit Mar-a-Lago.
Did you visit with the Donald?
I did get a chance to shake his hand while I was there.
Okay. 877-217-5757. Bobby Jindal. It's amazing how people, like his running mate, J.D. Vance, compared him to Hitler, and now he's his running mate. Sometimes things are hard to take back, but some of these guys, maybe Trump is more forgiving than he's given credit for, Albert Guillory.
I guess there's a lot of bombast in politics. People say a lot of things that they sometimes have to take back and swallow.
Roger Stone's been there more than three times. That doesn't surprise me, as is Marjorie Taylor Greene. Who are your confidants in the U.S. House of Representatives should you join that august body?
I'm close to Clay Higgins, Congressman Clay Higgins. I'm close to several of the people who are in the Congress, have been over the years, Tim Scott among others, but mainly because of my great experience in this, my lengthy experience, my seasoning, my wisdom. I've done this job in other places, including in Louisiana. In Louisiana, I had a great run, and I expected to have a run similar to it in the U.S. Congress. I was admitted to the Louisiana Justice Hall of Fame for my work in prison reform.
Now, a listener
asks, legislator.
you've got a definitely a pass that makes you a qualified candidate. But a listener does ask a question that you're actually only 2 years younger than Joe Biden, and many thought it was time for him to call it a day, and he did. You want to start a new career. You sound like Edwin Edwards, who in the year of 2014, when he was 87 years old, sought to go to the U.S. House. Why are you doing it, Albert Guillory, at the age of 80 years old?
First of all, my family does not believe in age. My daddy taught me that when I was a boy. He died at 102. My mother died at 104. Age is not a factor. It is, I maintain myself in excellent health. I have two brand new knees, so I'm back on my bicycle and biking 20, 30 miles. My mind is fairly sharp, and I'm from a community that respects elders, as we respect the wisdom that one acquires with age and maturity. And I have all of that working for me. So I'm very comfortable being 80 and preparing for this new career in Washington. And I have worked in Washington, D.C. before. So, as I said, I've had a great political career. And so none of this is new to me. I won't be a completely new kid on the block, but I was recently called a young whippersnapper by a lady. So
perhaps she will be the next Mrs. Guillory. Chris Anopoulosis. Chris, good morning. You're on with Senator Guillory.
Hello, Albert. I'm just curious because AIPAC is illegally operated in the U.S. They're supposed to be registered as a foreign agent, and they're not. Kamala Harris herself even married her own.
All right, what is your question, Chris? Chris, so you're on a diet.
My question to Albert is how much, who's your AIPAC handler, and how much money are you getting from Israel?
All right, are you getting money from AIPAC, Albert Guillory?
I have not received a check from AIPAC. I have been a very strong supporter of Israel over the years, and that's a good idea. Maybe I should send them a letter.
Well, politicians often take money from nefarious sources, but do you draw the line anywhere? Is there any source you would not take?
There are a number of sources. I wouldn't take a penny from Planned Parenthood, for example, as they have been responsible for 1 million deaths per year, 770,000 of those a year. Little black babies. I have some serious problems with their genocidal policy.
All right. Well, they do a lot of other things other than abortion services. Even Donald Trump acknowledged that, and he's a former contributor to Planned Parenthood. But as we know, Trump had an epiphany. But Albert Guillory, you're spouting the pro-life line, which in Louisiana. Used to play well, and it would be interesting. Do you think if we had a vote of the people now in Louisiana that most citizens would go against any kind of abortion rights, or would we just ban it all like we have now? What do you think? What do you think about that?
I've been talking to people across the state about this issue, and I believe that many Louisianans would support a ban on abortion with the exceptions of things like medical necessity, rape,
okay,
incest.
Steve in St. Francisville. Steve, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Jim and Mr. Guillory, I have a simple question, and I really would appreciate a simple answer, and that is, how can you, knowing what we all know about Donald Trump, support him?
All right. What about Trump? Is he an easy sell for you, or do you have some concerns?
Since 1954, when I started to study politics with Dwight Eisenhower was our president, I have criticized every single politician. And I will continue to do that. I don't agree totally, 100% with anyone. I didn't agree 100% with my mother, so I'm certainly not going to agree with all positions of any politician.
Do you think we're headed for another contested election?
Very probably. Very, very probably. I think this will wind up in the courts.
Well, that's not comforting, but in all of these swing states now, it's like a one-point margin one way or the other between Harris and Trump. It shapes up as a very close race, and I would think the fact that you're for Trump and Cleo Fields and the others are for Harris is an issue in the campaign. So we will follow it, hopefully have you back again. Thank you as always, Senator Guillory.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Stay tuned.